Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And Elder, my people, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. You're able to get me now?
Yeah, I can get you now. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Adventist
World Radio.
Happy to be a guest this week.
Right. Now, we're continuing with our talk. We are talking with you about a very important subject that we started on Monday, talking about, the role of mentorship in spiritual growth. I think it is very important, because when we grow spiritually, someone is on the side already there to hold us, in our hands. And in our focus on finding the perfect guide, we often overlook the crucial truth. The mentorship journey is a two-way street. So much emphasis is placed on the mentor's wisdom. But what does it actually look like to be a good mentee? What are the responsibilities, vulnerabilities, and active steps a mentee must take to truly absorb the lessons and foster a meaningful spiritual connection? And so I want to dive into the mentee's essential role in this very sacred partnership. My elder, what would you say is the role of the mentee in the mentorship relationship?
Thank you. Thank you so much, my brother. Indeed, mentorship is very, very important for spiritual growth. And even outside spiritual circles, professional, name it, for personal development too. But in our context here, the role of a mentee in this mentorship relationship, if it's going to work, like you said, it's a two-way street. The mentee must be in a position to accept what the mentor is pouring out or pouring into them.
Yeah.
So it is not only the mentor who needs to be intentional, but the mentee also carries responsibility. A responsibility to learn, to grow, to listen, and to apply the counsel that they are being given. Key roles of a mentee are basically, they need to be teachable. Practically, they need to be teachable, they need to be accountable. There should be vulnerability, being able to be held to a standard. They should be willing to grow. They should be willing to go through, stick to it, commit, even if it's not that easy. They should be humble and receptive. It's difficult to pour into a cup that's full, somebody who feels they don't need what you're giving them. So they should be humble and receptive.
Yeah.
Be obedient to God's word. Spiritually, I'm talking about spiritual growth, your mentorship, they need to be obedient to God's word. There's no need just learning and learning and learning, and there's no obedience, no commensurate fruit or outcome for the words they're learning. So, and above all, they need to apply what is being taught. Because just as mentors are guides, mentees must respond with openness and discipline.
Now, what is the importance of having a humble and receptive attitude in a mentee?
I touched on that briefly, but let me just go
a little bit deeper.
Proverbs 1 verse 5 tells us that a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attend unto wise counsel. This tells us that a wise man does not put a limit on learning. They continually learn. The verse shows us that wisdom begins with, first of all, listening. They will listen. They continue learning. A mentee must be slow to speak, quick to hear. Humility is a key because, like I said, one must be teachable. One should ever realize that there is, compared to what there is to know, and everyone they know, no matter how high, no matter how many PhDs in whatever sphere they think they've attained, whatever we know is just a drop in the ocean compared to what we can know. So that humility, only a humble heart recognizes the need for guidance. And also there must be eagerness to grow. This requires humility for somebody to understand that a mentee is not passive. He increases in learning by engaging, by asking and applying. Like the way the children are. Children will ask you 1,000 questions, but this is their way of assimilating this new environment they're in. They're 5 years old, they're 7 years old. They're still asking, why is the sky blue? Why is this? They're trying to learn. So a mentee must have that curiosity and eagerness to grow and learn. Teachability is the foundation of spiritual growth, and that requires humility. That's why it's important.
Now, let's look at the example of Apollos. What example does the example of accepting Priscilla and Aquila's guidance in Acts 18:26 teach us about teachability? If we look at that story.
Thank you so much. In fact, that we find that in Acts 18:26. Imagine this: Apollos was today you'd say an accomplished preacher of the word of God. He was eloquent. He was mighty in the scriptures. This term comes from the scripture itself. And one thing I know is that God means what he says. He doesn't, and he also says what he means. It's not exaggerating. This is not a flattery. Apollos was mighty in scripture, a powerful preacher. Yet the Bible says he began to speak boldly. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him unto themselves and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. Meaning, they saw that this man is already advanced on his path in his relationship with God, but there's a part he's missing. And they took him aside. If he was not a teachable person, who'd have simply told them, who are you? Do you know the kind of gifts God has given me and the kind of things I'm able to explain in scripture, I'm able to expound maps, beasts, charts, and things that you don't even understand. But then he humbled himself and was guided by them. So no one is too gifted to be corrected. This is what we are being told by Apollos. No one is too gifted to be corrected. And then, maturity is not measured by how much you know, but how you are willing to continue learning.
And that's, I think, very important. Now, what is the role of confessing sins and praying for one another in creating accountability in a mentoring relationship?
Okay, there we come to, I think James 5 verse 16 gives us some insights there. And it says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. This is a very important aspect because prayer achieves what maybe humanly speaking may not be possible. Also, first of all, let me handle the issue of accountability, because they are confessing one to another. It's not about shame. It's not about this vulnerability we are being encouraged to have. It's not about shaming one another. It is about growth. A mentee must be open and honest. You cannot be healed from what you hide. Many people are struggling with secret sins, darling sins. Why? Because only they and God and the angel, and mean that the demons who are tormenting them know what they are going through. No human, nobody else can. They can't reach out to anybody to counsel and guide them to say, "This is how you overcome this," or "This is how I overcame this." For example, you're struggling with alcoholism. Somebody overcame this thing. Drugs. Somebody overcame this thing. But then, if you do not say, no, you won't receive the help. It's like that phrase we've got in business. We say, a closed mouth, closed shop. Nobody's buying from you if they don't know that you're selling. If you don't go out and say, these are my struggles, nobody will think you have it all together, and nobody will come and give you unsolicited advice unless they are really got discernment and wisdom to pick that you must be going through something which they can then speak to. Otherwise, a mentee should be open and honest, invite prayer and counsel.
You must
be able to ask to say, pray for me, and I need direction. There's something I'm going through. So mentorship essentially requires trust. One cannot be mentored or be a mentee to someone if they have no trust. The mentee who hides struggles loses the opportunity for transformation. Growth happens when a mentee allows light into the dark areas of their life.
Now, my elder, how can a mentee practice what you learned and received and had and saw in their mentor as instructed in Philippians 4:9?
Thank you. You've actually brought a very important scripture, because Paul there is saying, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen, do. I love that last part. He's saying, learn. So here are five things. The thing that they have learned, that is through instruction. Some you've sat before somebody, be it Bible study, be walking with them like the disciples of Jesus, and he's giving them instruction for this and that, the mixture of inheritance, they're learning. And then also what you have received, he said, what you've accepted, when once you have accepted the teaching, that instruction which you have received, which you have heard, these are constant reminders. you hear these things over and over because you're in this environment and atmosphere of your mentee, of your mentor, sorry. What you have seen, you've been observing the mentor's lifestyle. The disciples observe the mentor's lifestyle, or Jesus' lifestyle. Finally, when all this is done, you've learned, you've received the instruction, you've heard, you've seen, you must do. Be doers of the things you've learned. Applying all of the above. A mentee grows not only by admiration, but by application. If all the disciples did was to admire Jesus, whoa, you walk on water, you are the Son of God, you're ABCD, but they did not do a thing of the things they learned, there would not be a record of them as there is in the book of Acts and elsewhere. They became doers.
Yeah.
A faithful mentee works out what the mentor has poured in.
Now, what can we learn from Ruth's faithfulness and willingness to follow Naomi's guidance? I think we get that story in Ruth 3:1-5.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Ruth is actually a model mentee. Naomi gave guidance. I mean, these are actually a very interesting a pair of women because they come in from a very dark situation, both widows, different age groups or generation. But even in that loss, Ruth had the sensibility to realize that there's a blessing with this older woman. And she speaks to her through thick and thin and follows her guidance. Ruth responded, "All that you say to me, I will do." That takes humility.
Yeah.
So lessons from Ruth are loyalty. She stayed committed to Naomi, even when it was hard. Then obedience. She followed instructions, even when she didn't fully know the outcome. Trust. She trusted Naomi's spiritual wisdom. I mean, she was telling her some pretty strange things. Go and sleep at the feet of whatever. Do a business. Those things that a young lady this age, this day and age, would be shocked to say, what is this old lady telling me? But she trusted her. And then also she was teachable. She allowed somebody older to guide her steps, which is a rebuke to us. Because many of us today think we know better than the previous generation. They don't know what is happening right now. So we seem to be the ones who in the know and not them. But she was very teachable. Could be guided by order. So because she was a faithful mentee, guess what happened? God positioned her in the lineage of Christ. She became a sister of Christ.
Yeah. I like that story. Thank you so much for that. It's a beautiful story, actually, as you were saying, of a beautiful example of a mentor and mentee. Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 40 says, "The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." How does this set the expectation for transformation in a mentee's life?
Thank you. So the verse you've referred to, actually Christ there is setting a standard, like you've said, transformation is the goal. The mentee should begin at some point after interacting. Like the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. There must be a point after the other iron has been sharpening. This other iron must become sharp. So there must be transformation. There must be, by beholding, we become changed. So the mentee should begin to reflect the Christ-like character of the mentor. Remember, this is spiritual mentorship. Must begin to reflect the Christ-like character of the mentor. Growth is expected. Mentees should mature to the point of resembling their mentors in faith, in humility, commitment, service, spiritual discipline. When Peter had walked with Christ for that long a period, then we get to see that Peter begins to, when we're reading about Peter in the book of Acts, some of the responses he's given, some of the way he's carrying himself, you begin to see like these guys become mini Jesus. Paul looks like you can actually see Jesus in them. They've spent so much time with him that now they begin to resemble him. That's what meant to become. Christ-likeness is the target. The ultimate mentor is Jesus himself. So the ultimate goal is to grow until we reflect him fully. And this is what we learn. Jesus says, when he actually comes back, one elder says, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back with a bunch of mirrors. So when he looks in the mirrors, he must see himself. If he does not see himself, then it's you're reflecting the image of another. You're not his.
I like that you're saying that the ultimate mentor is Christ himself. Yes, we can have our earthly mentees, mentors, rather. And for as long as they you know, resemble Christ and exemplify Christ. We should
exemplify Christ.
The ultimate is Christ himself. My elder, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Truly a blessing to have spoken to you. Blessings to you. We will connect once again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Stay
you so
blessed.
Much. Goodbye.
Bye. Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.